There's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. Lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you feel lost, well, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, he's a chain breaker. Oh, if you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, well, he's a chain breaker.
Say to me, I put on the pressure, you could do better, be who you're supposed to be. But that's when you came in, right when I needed you. You said all of the things that I was believing, not one of them were true. You lifted my head up, I was keeping my head down. I didn't know love, but I do now. Cause you
yeah. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody.
How are you doing?
Our second service slowly mingles in. Why don't we all stand to our feet? Let's invite the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God, we thank you so much. Father, we thank you for when you sent Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that you rose and are seated at the right hand of the Father. And we thank you for sending the Holy Ghost. Spirit of God, we ask that you'll move in this place, that you'll change our hearts. There's the anointing. That right now you'll start moving across this room. Father, there are people here today that Lord, they've given up hope on life, that Jesus, you're gonna stir them and show them that with you, there's nothing impossible. Lord, there are people that have come into the building today that, Lord, they don't know what they're going to do next in life. But, Lord, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. We thank you, Father, that some people, God, have come to the room and they're so sick that they've stepped out in faith. I decree in Jesus' name, I rebuke the spirit of infirmity in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, as they start to worship, freedom will come to their bodies. God, I thank you that more than anything, we'll see Jesus high and lifted up and his train fill in the temple. Lord, there's nothing greater than having you where we are. So, Holy Spirit, flood this room with your presence. Change our lives. That would be more like Christ at the end of this service than ever before. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Let's worship together.
Who is excited to lift up our King this morning? Can I hear a shout, please? Oh, you can do better.
Victory.
lift their hands and out of your own mouth out loud, just start thanking him for saving you from whatever he saved you from. Jesus, thank you for saving me from myself. Thank you for saving me from my circumstances. Go ahead and just thank him out loud for what he saved you from. Nobody can give him your praise. Nobody can give him your worship. Thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. Come on, sing that out loud. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving. Come on, every hand up in this place. So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside.
So you cleaned me up inside.
You thought I was to die for, sacrifice your life
so I could be free,
so I could be,
so
whole.
I could be whole, so I could tell.
Come on, one more time, sing out everything you have.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping,
so you cleaned me up inside.
You thought I was die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know.
Hallelujah. Come on, sing glory.
Glory.
Morning. I'm just going to tell you what, where he's showing me you're sick is a lady here on your right ovary. you're having problems with that, you have a consistent pain, God's going to heal you this morning. There's another individual in your intestines, it's about 7:30 to your belly button. You're having sharp stabbing pains, and you can feel it muscle side as also inside. God is going to heal you this morning. There's another individual, your right hip. When you turn to the right, if your foot stays stable, it's almost like someone's jabbing you with a knife in the backside of the ball of your hip. God's going to heal you this morning. There's another individual, you have a stiff neck on the left side. Goes all the way up from the head all the way down into the shoulder. God's going to heal you as well. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you don't ever give a word of knowledge without bringing forth the healing. So, Lord, I thank you, Jesus. If you reveal it, you heal it. There's another individual here on your left foot, starting with your big toe. It's almost like there's pins and needles constantly in your foot. It's strongest in your big toe, in between. God's going to heal you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, you reveal it, you heal it. Someone else just prayed. God is, there's a pain in your left, I'm trying to figure out how to say that. Your left armpit, and it's on the front side of your armpit, and it goes around the edge. God's healing you. I don't know what that is, but you and Jesus do. Another individual, you're having pain in your left lung, in the back section of your lung. You actually feel it in your back by your ribs. There's another individual on your right hand. You're having problems with pain on the outside of your wrist. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you know every one of those things that's going on and many more that are in the room. Lord, what I love about you is you love healing people. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, everyone that you showed me, Lord, you showed it to change it. I speak right now to the sicknesses that have been declared, and in Jesus' name, no matter what the cause, I curse the cause in the name of Jesus. And I command right now, God, restoration, healing, miracles to be released. Father, I'm not asking for healing. I'm asking for miracles in the name of Jesus. That even right now, at this very second, they'll feel the freedom in those limbs and those portions. No more pain for the glory of God. Somebody else, you're having a constant, it's a consistent, you've tried to get rid of it, and it's an ear infection on your right ear. You can actually feel it behind, let me see, if you take your tongue, it almost, you always feel like you're going to itch your throat with it. God's healing you right now. Go, I command the infection, go, in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're healing people this morning. Lord, I also pray for those that need healing emotionally. God, those that are struggling, that have been wounded, they're the walking wounded. And I know this, Father, that you came to heal the brokenhearted. So in the name of Jesus, bring healing to hearts today. Where the doctor's scalpel cannot cut, where medication cannot soothe, I thank you that Jesus can restore, heal, and set free. In the name of Jesus, in the name that's above every name, in the name, here's the anointing, of Jesus, we release your presence to heal the sick. And everybody said, amen. We love you. On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome five or six folks that you do not know. Shake their hands. Say, wow, good morning. It's so good to have you in the house of God. Don't go sit down. Make sure you go find somebody you don't know.
Hey guys, it's time to come up with the next Awaken Monthly.
Well, now baseball season's over and somehow the Astros won. How about we do something like Football Sunday?
No one cares about sports, Randall. Let's do a Thanksgiving dinner instead.
How are you not fat? No, I like Randall's idea. Now we need to come up with some games.
People gotta eat, Pastor Chad.
Marcus, if I promise to get you chicken wings, will you shut up or start being helpful?
Can you throw in some dip too?
Oh my gosh. So, about those games.
How about at 4:30 we start out a game of flag football, and then at 5:30 transition to game of like relay races, and they'll get to like tackle this dummy.
I'll tackle you.
What was that, Marcus?
I wasn't talking to you, Randall.
Wait, guys. We're still gonna do like the wings and dip and like sodas and coffee, right?
Yeah, let's do it. Hey, good morning, family. We want to remind you about the Next Steps classes that we have happening every single week. We have Rock Solid Faith in Step 1 every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., and every Thursday night at 6 p.m. And then Step 2 classes we have also Tuesday night with Marriage at 7 p.m. and Family and Parenting happening every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Make sure you come out for a Next Steps class today. Mr. Dan, wake up. Oh, sorry. Listen, guess what? Senior breakfast tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., we're meeting at Cracker Barrel for breakfast. Make sure you come out. This is Breakfast with the Pastors, and we want to invite anybody that's over the age of 50 to come out for breakfast. So again, tomorrow morning, senior breakfast at Cracker Barrel, 9 a.m. We'll see you there.
Sunday, it's like a family reunion. We all get to get together and catch up, and I just love the heart of our church. And that being said, we would really like to welcome our guests this morning. It's a privilege and an honor for us to get to know you, and we hope that you will feel like family. You know, there are some people that you get to know over time, and then there are people that you come into their home and you meet for the first time, and you feel like you've been family with them forever. And I believe that that's one of these houses where you come in and you're embraced and loved, and you feel like you've just always been a part of our family. So if you're a guest for the first time, we would like to welcome you. If you could just raise your hand, we have a gift that we would love to give to you. Any guests for the right here in the front row? There's a first-time guest over here. Any other first-time guests in the house? Amen. We have a wonderful guest room where you can come in and meet the pastors and the ministers and build some relationships. It's our heart to get to know you, and we have great refreshments in there as well. So please, once service is over, just go out these back doors and turn to the left and come down this hallway. There will be a sign that says the guest room, and you can come right in and join us. We'll be waiting to meet you. Looking forward to it. Also, we would like to welcome our live stream audience this morning. Thank you so much for taking time out to jump into the presence of God. The Holy Spirit is so good that He meets us wherever we're at, and we welcome you as a part of our family. We have an awesome opportunity to help fund our worship team and our music ministry. They are actually selling chocolates and candles, great holiday gifts, and all of that money is going to go towards initiatives that God has laid upon the worship team's heart. They have vision, and God moves through them in power every single week. So we want to do what we can to help support the plan that God has through our worship and arts department. And you just want to see Minister Mackenzie Coe, she will be happy to point you in the right direction. We're here to do whatever it is that God has asked us to do. We're His plan A. So take advantage of every opportunity that you can to help promote or propel the vision that God has for this house. I would now like to turn it over to Pastor Spencer.
We want to pray for some folks. Jay Collins, he was in first service, and he has just come back for 2 weeks. He and there's a team of men that have gone overseas and into countries that we don't talk about, that their whole job was to snatch young ladies from sex slavery. And so they were able to snatch 12 young ladies from brothels. From the age of 5 all the way to 17. They go right in, and we don't talk about how they do it. They go right in, and they actually snatch these young girls. And what's that? They rescue these young girls. My wife would rather me use the word rescue. Rescue these young ladies, and then bring them to a Christian organization where their hearts are able to be healed up, and their minds are able to be restored, and Jesus, they give them Christ. So, you know, I just want to thank the Lord for Jay Collins and that team that went and was able to do that. 12 young lives. Can you imagine that? 5-year-old being used as a sex slave in these countries. We also want to thank and pray at the same time. We want to pray for Texas. Many of you heard what happened last week. The horrific event of 26 people were killed while they went to church. It is a horrible event, but I just want to give God thanks for Josiah Skinkle. If he'll come forward. I thank the Lord. We have a phenomenal safety security team at this church. You know, for many years, we've had a safety security team for 15 years. For many years, people in the community have mocked us and made fun of us. And, oh my goodness, you people, you're crazy. You've got to be a cult. You have a security team. But, you know, I believe that this house has always been on the cutting edge, ahead of. And Josiah has also trained different leaders in churches. And if there's ever a time a church needs a safety security team, it's now. And I just want to give God thanks for Josiah, for his dedication, and for his team. If you could stand and just thank the Lord for a safety security team that's doing a phenomenal job. We love you. And now let's just take a second. Let's pray for Texas. Whether you realize it or not, they're us. The Bible says we're the body of Christ. Amen. Where one hurts, we all hurt. One family lost 8 members in their family, from a baby all the way to a 77-year-old woman, grandma. And I just believe that we can pray for them and God will touch them, that they can feel the hug and the love all the way from Horseheads all the way to Texas. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for freedom. God, we thank you, Jesus, that we live in this amazing country. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you are the one who comforts the hearts. It makes no sense to us on the exterior. But God, what you could do inside these believers who have massive loss, Lord, the pastor who lost his daughter, we stand in the gap for them right now in the name of Jesus. God, we ask that you will embrace them, that, Lord, they'll feel the love all the way from New York, all the way to Texas, as we stand in the gap for them and pray for them. Release the presence of God in their life. That, Lord Jesus, in their time of mourning, Lord, you'll bring a peace that makes no sense. And God, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, that you love us even in the middle and the midst of tragedy. So you're faithful, God, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We just want to thank the Lord also for all of those that have served in the armed forces. You know, we live in a phenomenal country. I don't know if you know that or not. Down in Cuba, if you want to go to church in Cuba, you can go to church in Cuba, but you're not allowed to have a church building. So what they do is they have churches in homes. So they bust out all the walls. They start filling it. God's Spirit starts to move. But what happens is this, is the government always has a spy in every single church. When the church starts becoming more powerful, miracles and more people getting saved and God starts using them, they immediately go and arrest that pastor and put him in prison. You know, whether we realize it or not, in China, if you're a pastor, you've probably been in prison at least once. We live in a phenomenal country. Does America have trouble? Of course it has trouble. Every country has trouble. But we live in an amazing country. And if you have served in the armed forces in this house, we want to honor you. Because the reason we can sit in this church building today is because of the hours and the life that you put on the line for freedom. So if you're in the house this morning, you've served in the armed forces in some capacity, if you will stand to your feet, we just want to honor you this morning. Amen. Look at them all pop up. Praise the Lord. That's right. Come on, give them another hand clap. Thank God for their life. We all know this. Freedom isn't free. So I'm going to do one more thing. I'm going to ask you to stand. I thought we just stood. You did, and you get to do it again. It's Christian calisthenics. But we want to honor this country that we live in. And so we're going to sing the national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for America. God, we pray, Lord, that as you've raised up this country, that, Lord, and you've used it for hundreds of years to save the lost. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for a revival to sweep across this country in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, in these last days that we'll have a harvest, Lord, of people that will come to the saving knowledge of Christ, that every church will be so full that, Lord, we'll have to even build new ones to hold capacity. Lord, I pray, God, that such an outpouring of your Holy Spirit will happen, that morals will return to our country, that a passion for heaven will return to our country, that our generations will not be lost. God, we stand in the gap for them in Jesus' name. We pray for America and for souls to be saved in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Pastor Ron, you may be seated. What are you seeing? This is the Rock Solid Faith graduation. No, it's not. It is step 2 graduation. These are all the folks, I'm sorry, these are all the folks that have gone through step two. Look at, and it's called character building. Pastor Banfield's going to give you a little rundown of what it's all about. Yes.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Won't be long. It'll be afternoon, okay? But Pastor's going to keep you an extra hour today so he can get everything in he wants. So these people took an eight-week class called Character Building, which was taught by Pastor Cody. And some of them took an eight-week class called Kingdom Principles, which is a step three class. And that was taught by Sherry Spencer. And so we continue these classes, and so we invite all of you to participate with us to grow your relationship with God and to fulfill your purpose that God has for you. Okay?
Amen. Pastor Banfield's over all the educational departments of his Tabernacle Family Church. This is what you always hear us talk about, next steps. Next step one is rock solid faith. Everybody in the room should already be in it. If not, man, I just want to encourage you. We have it on Tuesday night at 7. We have it on Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. And we also have it on Thursday night at 6 p.m. We offer it three times during the week because it will truly change your life. Then we have step two. And these are the specific topics that are taking 8 weeks to build and grow. Pastor Dan and Jody right now are teaching the marriage class. If you're married and you need help, listen, don't call for my... This is really funny. My wife and I get calls for marriage counseling. We love doing marriage counseling. But the fact is we have a class on it right now. So take the class, then come see us. That class might fix you. And if you hang around Pastor Dan and Jody, they're crazy anyways, aren't they? They're so much fun. You'll have a blast in that class. That's on Tuesday nights. So can we give all the graduates a hand clap this morning? And thank you very much. Thank you all. Amen. Pastor Rhonda.
Nothing better than gaining understanding and growing in God's kingdom. Always remain teachable. The point where we become unteachable and we know everything is when we start to disconnect from God's kingdom. So always be a student of God's word. We learn something new every single day if we're open and teachable. So join Next Steps. Get involved. That wasn't my job. I'm here to talk about prosperity. Amen. God loves to prosper his children. And Pastor, go ahead, come on out, guys. Pastor loves this body so much that he brought in one of the fivefold gifts to the church to speak to us on finances. And there is something powerful that happened when Brother John Avanzini was here and we cut covenants with God to walk in sharing our increase, to walk in obedience to the tithe, and it shifted from the natural to the supernatural. And I am telling you, open heavens are supernatural, and they are all over the place. We are hearing testimony after testimony. Pastor Spencer, you want to give testimony?
We are so blessed. 1, 2, 3, 4. We are so blessed. Last week, I had lunch with a man of God. And he and his family sowed $20,000 into his Tabernacle Family Church. That's what I call a good lunch. Amen? It's amazing that God will speak to us. And I just thank the Lord. It was perfect timing. God is so faithful. And I thank God for their obedience, but also that this house is good ground. Can I hear an amen?
So we gained great understanding under the teaching of John Avanzini that has caused a supernatural transition in finances all through this house. There is something to be said about obeying the word of God that takes this natural and just turns it supernatural. And how many of you want your natural turned supernatural? How many of you need your natural turned supernatural? Amen. So we want to share in testifying of the awesome open heaven that as children of God in obedience to the word of God, as we saw through Malachi chapter 3 in the tithes and offerings, of what God can do. He meets every single need. This is, by the way, Corey and Britt Pelton. Corey has been hired here to do the media. Graphics has been doing a phenomenal job, and they already have great testimony to share with us.
So my wife
just recently got a job at Ithaca College, which is a full-time job, which is something we've been praying for. It's something we've been believing for. And it was such a huge blessing because it gave us the opportunity to, you know, really go above and beyond to where we believe that God wants us to be in our finances and in our, to be able to give back to the kingdom. And so she got the job and we realized there's all these extra expenses that came up. There was daycare, which, by the way, we had an amazing daycare. We got Portia Gilbert to be actually our daycare for us. And our kids are loving it. They don't cry at home. So we're just so blessed. But the other thing, so we have that expense. Then we have her driving to and from. We live just a mile down the road. We have to have her drive 5 days a week to and from Ithaca 5 days a week. And this is just, you know, all these extra bills got added on. And we knew that because of that, just until she gets her paychecks coming in, we're going to have to, you know, play a little bit of catch up. You know, we had a plan. We're like, okay, this isn't a big deal. We don't mind. You know, we got this covered. But then we realized Christmas is right around the corner, and we have a four-year-old and a one-year-old. And we just, you know, we wanted to, for their first Christmas away from home, we're from Oregon, their first Christmas away from family, we wanted to give them a really nice, special Christmas. And we just didn't have it in our budget to do it. So Brittany signed up for some overtime at work, which was in itself a huge blessing. But then a coworker of hers heard that she signed up for overtime and said, you know, hey, you know, I heard you signed up for overtime. If finances are tough, or I know Christmas is around the corner. I have a trunk full of toys that I was going to give to Goodwill. But do you want them? And she's like, yeah, sure, I'd love to. Thank you so much. But so my son, we went to Walmart a few times and he saw this little Tykes car, one of those little yellow ones with their like Flintstone pedal to make it go. I was like, yeah, buddy, that's a really cool car. But you know, it's $100. We're like, okay, well, that might be your only gift. But so fast forward to this time, she goes to the back of this guy's car, and in the car is a brand new little Tykes car, the exact one that he wanted, and he gave it to us. Not just that, but he gave us a whole bunch of other, he got a whole truck full of toys. I mean, this guy was like, this guy was just incredible, not saved, and it's just amazing that God heard our cry. And when we've been giving regularly for tithe, but we've been, because of the finance thing, we've been nickel and diming our tithe. Like, okay, this is exactly 10% of what we owe God. But God, when John Amazini came, he made me realize in my heart, you don't give out of fear, you give out of, like what Pastor's saying, don't give out of fear, you give out of principle. You give out of, this is God's money, and this is what you need to give. Give out of faith, because that's what will produce the harvest. And so what we did is we took that tithe and we said, we're going to round up to the nearest 10. And it was only a couple of dollars difference. But right after that is when this guy came and gave us the gifts. And it was just a huge blessing for us. So, the biggest reason that we were nickel and diming was because we were just, okay, shoot, we're so afraid. Like, okay, how, you know, we know we're supposed to tithe, but we were really afraid. Okay, like the temptation didn't come in of, okay, do we pay our tithe or do we, you know, God, we've been paying our tithe, but can we use it for Christmas presents? Because we're still playing catch up. And it was just like, no, I've provided for you up until now. You've been in this situation before. Why do you think I can't do it again? So we was like, you know what, God, this money is yours. It was never ours to begin with. Here you go. Here's your money. And God gave us not only what we asked for, but more than what we asked for.
Don't we serve an incredible God? They didn't even ask for more than that. And God showed up with more than they could even ask, think, or imagine. He is such a faithful God. If you're ready to give under this open heaven, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. And when we declare this, I want you to be so confident and fixed. You know, you signed commitments before God, and God signed his commitment with his blood before you. He promises an open heaven, and we have testimony after testimony just flooding in, walking under an open supernatural heaven. So if you'll repeat after me with all of the conviction inside of you, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button and give right along with us or text us.
Last week on principle or persuasion. What a great series. It's been an excellent series, and I pray it's been stimulating to you as God has been showing me that many of us don't live by principle. Many of us live by persuasion. We find that there's attack on families, an attack on church, attack on principles. I think they said in the 1950s, the worst thing that they had problems with the kids was running in the halls and chewing gum. Dear Lord, has this changed? We live in a different world. Why do we live in such a different world? We'll find that many of the principles have not been implanted within our young people. Therefore, the flow of our generations has changed. Order has changed. And obedience has changed. And all of this comes down to learning to live by principles. We don't do it because we feel like it. We do it because it's the principle. You're a tough one this morning, aren't you? We don't do things because we always feel like it. How many of you feel like going to work on Monday morning? Some do. How many get up on Monday morning and go, well, you know, it's Monday, you know. Some of you post it on Facebook. Don't do that anymore. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. So the point comes down to it. That's the principle. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. You see, we learn how to bless him not because we always feel like it, but because the principle declares it. We live by principles and not by persuasion. You see, principles are those foundations that we build, those systems we build in our life that give us that solid rock that we stand on. And the greatest rock is Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? The Bible says that Jesus is the rock. And you see, that's who we serve. When we live our life by the principles that Christ leads, then we know that we're going to have success for whatever Jesus did, and we do. We're going to have the same success that he had. Can I hear an amen? Persuasions are different. That is, persuasions are likes, they're dislikes, they're emotions, there are circumstances. And you'll find that in many people today and many believers today that our persuasions are actually stronger than our principles. Now, why is that? Well, some people, it's because they've never been taught there's a difference. They've been taught. In fact, Pastor Obi sent me a little thing on millennials. Just when was that? Yesterday. Little thing on millennials about what millennials think about church. It was pretty interesting as I broke it down and was able to see that millennials don't believe that church is important at all. Well, the problem with that is, if it was good enough for Jesus, it should be good enough for us. Can I hear an amen? But what's happened is that principle has been lost as the American church has slid into a mindset of going to church one every 3 weeks. The average believer only goes to church once every 3 weeks. And then we wonder why our children don't have the principle of becoming part of the house of God. You see, the shift and change that's occurred within our own mindset, we are passing on generational. Every principle is generational. I remember there was a mom and a dad that were coming to church for a period of time, and the dad decided he didn't want to go to church any longer, and his son was about 6 or 7 years old. And what the dad would do on Sunday morning, because he didn't want to be alone, is he would look at his son and say, "Why don't you just stay home with daddy today? Why don't you stay home and we'll watch TV and relax while mommy goes to church?" And that's exactly what happened. You want to know that child is not serving the Lord today? Well, why? Well, because the father taught him a principle that God's house, God himself, was not important. So therefore, why would you take time to serve God? There is an issue with principle that must be implanted within the next generation to take it to them to where they'll bring it to their children. When we live by persuasion, then on a Sunday morning, if you're tired, you stay in bed. You let your persuasion become stronger than your principle. Well, you know, I like football. And in fact, I was ranting a little bit in the first service about how many parents abandon, watch now, literally, they take their children out of church for children's football season. It always amazed me as I watch a parent take their child out of the house of God and bring them into a sports and then wonder why their kid doesn't want to serve the Lord when they get out of high school. The fact is we're teaching principles. Everything we do teaches a principle, and if it's our persuasion, it becomes the next generation's principle. The scary part about that if we don't shift this, we're going to have a challenge with the next generation that is going to overwhelm us, because we're going to have a whole generation that looks at the things of God and says, "Well, I don't feel it anymore. I don't feel like it anymore. I don't like that anymore." But the truth is whether you like it or not, principles are always stronger. Principles are yay and amen. And even though our persuasion brings us to a place of choosing something other than principle, it will always bring decimation. Why? Because if the principle is not solid, as it said in the book of Matthew, when the wind blows and the storms come and the weather rages, only the house that's built upon the rock will remain standing. So we as parents, we have such an enormous responsibility, because when we don't teach the principles, then we are not going to have the next generation take it. So as pastor, I was sitting back and I was saying, Lord, it amazes me as I'm watching people make decisions on a consistent basis in the body of Christ. And it was brought to my attention that because what's happened is we've raised up a whole generation of people that are moved by their circumstances, that are moved by their likes and their dislikes, that are moved by their emotions, but are not stable in principles. I love that child, whoever it is. Open your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 2, and it says this. And the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit. Everybody shout, commit. Commit these to faithful men that they will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. One of the things I found that whenever I bring a principle in my life, I want to see what Jesus did with the principle. You see, if it worked for Jesus, then I know it will work for me. Can I hear an amen? If Jesus did it, I know it's the will of God, for Jesus only did the will of God. Jesus said, I only do what my Father has done. I only say what my Father has told me to say. You see, when you recognize that Jesus, our perfect example, gave us the description of how to live successful, when we follow the principles that he laid down, then we know we can't fail. But many of us, we live by our own persuasion rather than the principle of Christ, because it brings a better flavor to our emotional stimulation rather than you and I regenerating and changing and living in the principle. So what's happened here, many of us have a real warped mentality of Jesus, almost like he floated off the ground 6 inches. Ooh. You know, when I was a kid, I did not believe that my preacher went to the bathroom. His name was Reverend Locker. I remember going to Reverend Locker. I was just a young kid. I remember going to Reverend Locker, and I said to him, do you go to the bathroom? And he said, of course I go to the bathroom. But you see, I had no concept that as a man of God, he would ever have gone to the bathroom. Many of us have such a strange mentality of Jesus. We believe that he did all the earthly things that he did with success because he was God. Now, I want to remind you that Jesus, when he was born of a virgin, and that the Spirit of God came upon Mary, and that God brought forth the seed. So here we have Jesus. Jesus was all God and all man in the same body. But the Word of God declares in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus gave up all of his heavenly glory to come down here and to live as a man. You see, when he gave up all of his heavenly glory, he did that for a reason. He did that so he could show us not only that he was a Messiah who understood all the things that we're going through. In fact, that's found in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The high priest of our understanding the high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he has faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. We make Jesus something that he is not. You see, Christ was known as Jesus of Nazareth. Why? Because it was important to show his humanity. It was important to show that he did what he did as a man, and the success that he had on this planet was in obedience to God. Now, if Jesus did all of the heavenly miracles and signs and wonders, Jesus lived the way he did because he was God, it made it so that it is impossible for us to ever acquire and do what Christ has done. Then Christianity would be worthless and throw away. But because Jesus did all that he did, because he was a man in obedience to the will of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You see, even Jesus didn't even start his ministry until Mark chapter 1. The Bible says that Jesus, when he was baptized of John the Baptist, that when he came out, the Bible says that the Spirit of God came and descended upon him like a dove, and a voice from heaven, the Father, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." At that moment, his ministry began. But you see, nothing began in Christ. Nothing was done in Christ except by the anointing of the Holy Spirit and his willingness to obey. Why is this important to us? Because this shows us that Christ lived by certain principles, and when we live by the same principles as humans, we too can be as successful as Jesus was. You know, many people don't realize, but Jesus had a mom and dad. Jesus had brothers and sisters. He was a normal guy. He had to put his, I don't think they wore socks, he had to put his sandals on every morning. And whether you like it or not, whether it sounds disrespectful, the truth is that Jesus went to the bathroom. This brings him back to the humanity, to the understanding that if Christ can live this principle, that we can too. And if it brought success to Jesus, it will bring success to us. But if you and I live by persuasion, that every movement that we have in our life every movement we have in our life is about how we feel, what we think, if we like it or dislike it, or whether it feels good. It's time to recognize most principles don't always feel good. How many of you know that it's a principle that you go to work on Monday morning if you've got a job? How many of you recognize that if you choose not to live that principle, you don't have a job? Amen. So we're shocked when we sit back and we start looking at principles in God's Word and say, well, you know, I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like being in the house of God every Sunday. Well, guess what? The preacher doesn't either. But this has nothing to do with feelings. If you want feelings, have Barbara Streisand sing you a song. This is about you and I learning how to live a life of obedience. And in life of obedience, even when it doesn't feel good, it makes you strong and strengthens you and puts you in the position of success. Because if it made Jesus successful, it will make you successful. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You see, Jesus had to get a job. What? I thought he just said, let there be money, and there was. No, Jesus actually had to have a job. The Bible says that because he was first born, that there was principles about him having to take over even as in his father's business. It was a very normal process that they would take over for birthright factor. We don't know when Joseph died, but we don't hear a lot about him after the age of Jesus being 12. But we know that Christ had to have a job. So we know that the Word, who wrote the Word, sat under the Word for 30 years before he preached the Word, but also that the Word, in those 30 years, had to have a job. And if Jesus had a job, that means he had some type of paycheck. And you know that Jesus tithed because he lived the principles. So Jesus went to church as usual, Luke chapter 4. Jesus got a job. Everybody shout, get a job. Get a job. Now the fact is that some people say, well, you know, I don't think I need a job. But the Bible says he who doesn't work doesn't eat. The Word of God also says that if a man does not work and take care of his family, he's worse than an infidel. Which shows this. Jesus had to have a job because he had to take care of his family. I'm not talking he had a wife and children. I'm talking he put into the household and the house that they belonged to. All of this is processed in understanding that Jesus was a normal guy. Jesus was a normal human that walked on all God, all man in the same body, yet surrendered his heavenly power so that he could be a Messiah. He could be a high priest who went through every struggle, strife, weakness that we went through, yet he lived by principles, the principles of the Father, and watch what Jesus did. Jesus not only died, but he rose again, and because of his living principles, you and I are sitting here today, washed in the blood, knowing that we can go to heaven, that God changed our life, all because Jesus lived by principle and not by persuasion. Now, you see, the fact is that Jesus had opportunity not to. Y'all know that, right? Well, you know, he didn't have a choice to die on the cross. That's not true. Jesus had a choice to obey God or not to obey God. That's why that verse in 2 Timothy is so powerful. 2 Timothy 2, we read it earlier. It says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. The word there, entangled, means to be interwoven or involved with. And the affairs of this life means business. One of the things that's happened where we're going away from principle and going into persuasion is that the body of Christ is in a position where we no longer, come on now, I'm going to step on some toes. Everybody pick your feet up real quick. We no longer are people that are driven by destiny. We are driven by our appetites. Christ, the principle that he lived was that he understood that his life was not his own. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ grew up normal. I want to remind you that the Bible says that Jesus had to grow in wisdom, grow in stature, that he was growing up. But even in that, we see that at the age of 12, a light bulb went off that he had to do his father's business. You see, this is where the body of Christ has to get back to understanding through the principle of Jesus that Christ lived his life for the Father, not the Father for him. Woo! We have gotten so accustomed to this world that this is more our home than heaven is. That's a scary part. You see, it's a strong diabolic attack against the body of Christ, because if the church no longer sees heaven as their home, then they get all settled down here. And if we get all settled down here, then we get all comfortable and we take things, own things, which we've never been called to own, because we're only supposed to oversee what God has, and everything that we have is God's. For the Bible declares that I have nothing, that he has everything. I must decrease so he can increase. But the body of Christ has gotten to a place now where we are driven by what you and I want to do on our lifestyle rather than what God wants us to do on our lifestyle. We're driven by this persuasion. But Jesus lived this. I love this factor. And I'm going to end really soon. Today I'm not going to preach really long. But you see, I really believe that this principle of purpose and destiny is what drove Christ to the cross, not in defeat, but in victory. He made the declaration in the book of Hebrews. He said, I count it all joy. Why? What's the joy? He said, when I went to the cross, I counted it joy. Why? Because he was a man of destiny. He was a man of purpose. He was a man of focus. He was a man of driven design. He was a man of principle. And he knew that when he came down on this earth, as the Lord revealed to him, whether he knew it from birth or he knew it from revelation, he knew he was going to have to die on the cross. How do we know? Because when Christ started preaching, he said, when you destroy this temple, I'll rebuild it in 3 days. He wasn't talking about the stone. He was talking about the stones that the builders rejected. He was talking about himself. It's time to get back to the principle of knowing that you're a person of destiny and purpose and make that a part of your pillar. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14 says this, for this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, the Message Bible says it this way. Friends, this world is not your home, so don't make yourself cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life among the natives so that our actions or your actions will refute their prejudices. Then they'll be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives. See, Jesus lived his life as a man of purpose. He had a destination to go to. We might say, well, he was destined for death. No, he was destined for life. Because even though he died on that old rugged cross, on the third day, he put his foot on the devil's head, Revelation chapter 1, and took away the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and he rose from the dead. I want you to see that Christ sealed the life and the purpose of his destiny because he was willing not to get off the cross. He was willing not to be deterred by his emotion, his persuasion, his desires, his likes, and his dislikes. Listen, because I don't know about you, I don't like it. Has anybody here ever hit their finger with a hammer before? Yeah. You just looked at yourself and you said, man, I can't wait to do that again. Nope. Every one of us realize that pain is not fun. Anybody ever walk by your bed or walk by something with your bare foot and you hit the edge of the corner? And it took your toenail and bent it straight up. Blood started spurting out. Just kidding. I just wanted to see your reaction. But you broke your toe. How many of you ever broke your toe? And you went, wow, where's the next corner? No, man. Pain's not fun. But what's happened is this. Jesus, because he was a man of principle, because he was a man of destiny, because he said, my life has been brought here for a purpose, I refuse to be driven by my persuasions. I refuse to be driven away from my calling because I know the pain that I'm going to have on Calvary's tree. Instead, I'm going to count it joy. Why? Because he saw you saved. He saw your family saved. He saw your mama saved. He saw your baby saved. He saw your grandchildren saved. He saw your neighbor saved. And he said, that's the joy. It's not always fun to live the principle, but the joy comes in the morning when you see the results of principle over persuasion. And it's time to start living a life of principles rather than always trying to be living by your persuasions. See, the enemy would love to persuade you to trade your calling and your purpose for some temporary persuasion. Watch people trade out their purpose for money. Listen, I know there are service people that don't have a choice to work on Sundays. I know we have guards in the church. We have police officers in the church. We have doctors in the church. We have nurses in the church. And I know you're on a rotation. That's not what I'm talking about at all. But I've literally watched people. They've sold their birthright. They've sold the principle of going to the house of God and growing up and maturing in the things of Jesus for an extra $25. Man, I told you last week what I always simply told anybody that hired my children. They don't work on Sunday mornings. They can work afternoons all you need them. And they don't work on Thursday nights. They go to youth group. Whenever they try to book them on those nights, I always let them know, well, you're going to have to either find a replacement or my child does not work for you anymore. And somebody always said, well, that's just kind of, you know, you just got to understand. No, I don't got to understand. They got to understand. They got to understand my family lives by principles. My family does not move by persuasion. Therefore, it's going to go into the next generation. I guarantee you their children will have the same principle. And I guarantee you my great-grandchildren will have the same principle. Why? Because I made a declaration and a determination that the house of God is more important than a few dollars in my pocket. Amen. Relationships. I can't tell you how many men and women. Just recently, I watched a lady who God has just touched her so many different times. I watched her trade out God for a man. Man, you can get a man or a woman in your bed, but I want to tell you something. They can't get you to heaven. They can only get you to hell. There's no fulfillment inside a human being. Only your fulfillment, and this is principle, comes from Jesus Christ. Everybody else in your life is the cherry on top. Not your Sunday. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Man, I've watched people trade out their destiny, their purpose, their principle because they've been hurt. Oh, pastor, I was hurt in the church. I'm not going back anymore. Let me tell you, the saddest part is you've just made the person that hurt you a god in your life. Anything you hold above God, anything you're persuaded to that's above God, above his principles, is now your god. So all of a sudden, this person that hurt your feelings at church, now you've surrendered to them because now you've allowed them to drive you from what Christ said as a principle for you to be at. And you wonder why hell is starting to lick your toes and life is starting to fall apart. Why? Because principles are that foundational strength that you build your house upon. And when you take out a cornerstone, then guess what's going to happen? Hell is going to start coming into your house. You're going to have a breeze, a nice cold breeze. Has anybody ever left your door open before during the middle of winter? It don't take long to suck out all the heat. See, these are principles. Satan wants to shift your eyes to your immediate persuasion rather than your eternal principle that will accelerate you to the divine design of your life. When we allow anything to persuade us, anybody to persuade us, away from the principles that Christ has placed in his word, then we've got to ask ourselves a very simple question. Why in the world would I want to submit to that rather than live upon the rock that's going to make myself successful? Oh, come on now. Ladies, I just got to say this now. I don't know why, but I feel in my spirit. I've watched ladies, and I actually watched my mom. My mom would confess this too. My mom, when my mom and dad were married, they're divorced now after 25 years. But my mom walked away from Jesus, as your mom did. Walked away from Jesus for 3 years trying to keep their man happy. And I want you to know something. You can walk away from your principle because you're trying to persuade someone to love you more, but they're only going to love you more as long as you stay away from your principle. The moment you go back to your principle, they're going to love you less. Why? Because they hate not the you, they hate the principle that's inside of you. The greater one who lives in you is what they're repelled by, not by you. That was free. I just got to give that one. I don't know why. Today, I want to encourage you. You see, there's nobody like you. Turn to someone next to you and say, you are an amazing human being. Now turn to the person that you don't even like and say, you're an amazing human being. All right, I don't know why. I don't want to know why people are laughing stronger. That's not a good thing. You know, these persuasions are so dangerous. Is Kiara here still? Come here, baby girl. Remember I told you that I taught my children that you live by principles, not by your persuasion. This young lady right here, Kiara, she lived in our house for over a year. She's my baby girl. She said, don't hit me with the mic, so I had to hit her. I'm sorry. And I remember when she came to us, work was not a principle.
Amen.
And when she came to us, I remember going to a job with her, and I got so mad at her because she ditched the job. Do you remember that? I was so mad. I could have ripped your hair out. Yeah. But you see, in our house, it's principle. You will get a job, you will pay your tithe, and you will not miss church. What time did you go to work last night? What time did you get up?
11. I went to work. I left work at 7:41 a.m.
She's here this morning, and both services, and she worked all night. Now, how many of you know that your persuasion would be stay in bed? So she did that for 2 weeks, and I gave her a call. Get out of bed. Why? Because sometimes we just need to be reminded that our persuasions, no matter how strong they are, they're wrong when they lay hold of our principle. So this young lady, she's in church. She's dressed all in pink because she came from where she worked all night long. And she's still here this morning in the house of God because I put a principle in her. You pay your tithe, don't you?
Every week.
That's right, because we taught that one too, didn't we? You don't just pay your tithe, you seed every week. That's where the increase comes. She's living the principles we deposited, and she will be successful. And whatever she does, and if she is going to go to her persuasion because I love her, I'll give my own persuasion to realign her. Amen? Proud of you. So my question is this. What is more important in your life? Your persuasions or your principles? That is the question that only you can answer. Nobody else can answer that. Your husband, your wife, your mama, your daddy. No one can answer this question. And the issue is that if today you're finding you have a harvest in your life that you don't like, it means you planted some bad persuasions. For what a man sows, that shall he also reap. So if you want a different harvest, you live by principles that always plant correctly. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And I ask you a question. If you had to write your five top principles of life that you live by, Do they line up with the Word of God? Or are they driven by your persuasion that you'll pass down to your children, and then all of a sudden, your children will not serve God because you pass down a persuasion as a principle? This is every one of us. And every one of us got to ask that serious question, because our babies will be who we are. You can hide it all you want. Oh, one more. No, I already gave that one. Did I give that one about the boy staying in bed? I did. Let's move on. Did I say? I just don't remember if it's this service or last.
No, you didn't.
We had a mom and dad that were coming to church here. Did I tell you this one?
No.
Oh, good. Mom and dad who were coming to church here. And all of a sudden, the dad decided he did not want to go to church anymore. I did tell you that. See, you guys just aren't listening. Who will your children be? What will your generations declare? Are you living more by persuasion or by principle? Bow your heads with me this morning. You know, this is a church that constantly pushes you. We're not a church that placates, pacifies. You'll find from this pulpit, I'm constantly pushing you to know God more, to live like God more. And some people simply don't like that, and I understand that. I've offended many people out the doors with the gospel. My goal is never to offend somebody out the door. My goal is that you respond to the Word of God's principles and live successfully. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming. The signs and the time are so powerful, and we have time to realign ourselves. We have time to take our persuasions and put them away and lay hold of principles that will truly transform our entire life. Success is not an accident. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the number one principle, the number one persuasion, the number one principle you have in your life is that without Jesus, you cannot be saved. Religion won't get you saved. Going to church don't make you saved. Being a preacher don't make you saved. The only way to be saved, the only way to have your sins washed away, is to ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Some people rely upon the persuasion of religion to settle themselves. And I want you to know that again, that will never help you. It will pacify your religious need, but it will never wash your sins away. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you've never accepted Him as your Lord, or you're in a backslidden condition, you know that if He comes today, you knew if you died today, you'd not go to heaven, and you want to make sure, you want to solidify, you want this principle to be primary in your life. Today, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand up this morning. I just want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be with Christ today if you take your last breath. Is there anyone here this morning? I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, come on. Thank you. Thank you, young lady. 4, 3, come on, get your hand up. I see you, baby. 2, last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet. You know, I preach sometimes strong. Actually, I preach stronger, I think, in second service than I do first. So if you want a lighter gospel, come first service. But I preach this way because I really believe in you, and I know if I believe in you, God believes in you far more. And that our job here is not small, but is vast and is powerful. And that is, it's time to take our region back. Can I hear an amen? It's time to get into our schools. It's time to, listen, the best way is get into our families by teaching them principles of success. Father, I just pray right now for every single person, Lord, that's here in this room and watching by live stream. And I declare, Lord, that the devil's deception for persuasion will always be debunked by the principle of the Word of God that will just explode within them, Father, every time that they're being tempted to live by feelings and emotions and circumstances. Lord, I thank you for a strong body, a powerful body, ones that will lay hands on the sick, ones that will lead their friends to Christ, ones that will not be ashamed of the gospel. I thank you, Lord, for this house, your people. Lord, we speak strength to them, encouragement to them, and principles to them, that they may live, oh God, to bring glory to you and to your name. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. The prayer team, if I could have you come around the front of the altar. Right now, if you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to have Miss Mindy come right over here. You'll meet me right up front. I want to shake your hand. We want to lead you to Christ. Get your Bible. If maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you want to, make sure. Listen, next week, Brother Tim Shuttlesworth, make sure you fill out your covenant, your lost lamb's covenant, and bring at least two people that don't know Christ, that they may be saved next Sunday morning.